magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together.
Wait,
let me get the date. I can get the date right. It's Tuesday, June 18th, 2019. We're having discussions beforehand. Do I usually say
exalt?
Exalt.
Yeah.
But I need to say exalt.
Yeah, depending on what you mean. But if we're going to do it together, we're going to exalt, lift up.
Exalt. So those of you that have wondered why I maybe say it wrong, or those most of you that have always thought it's fine however he says it.
I've always liked the way you say it, but we have Rob Seidenberg in studio with us.
Mr. Wordsmith.
And of course, we are now getting it fixed.
Yeah. So. Exalt his name together. Alt his name together. Marianne and I had a discussion yesterday after the Monday edition of Mark and Friends. Little shout out to Bill Erickson. Great job on our memorization Monday yesterday as we talked about Hebrews 4:16. So in review quickly, at least I digress two or three more times. Let us then approach the throne of grace with confidence so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. So
amen. That's a good verse.
We talked about that a little yesterday and shared about it. And then the unique ministry that Bill and Donna are doing together with International Friends Inc., their heart for international students. And hopefully some of you called in and said, hey, I can volunteer, or I'd love to help, or I'd love to be trained more to reach out to internationals. Mm-hmm. You can find out more by listening to yesterday's program. It's archived at greatnewsradio.org. That's greatnewsradio.org. But between these two, we get in the studio and there's a lot of laughter and kidding, even some of our prayer time. Wait a minute, what are you praying for? Let's talk about that a little. So it's great to have Rob join us. You're familiar with Marianne. Another person just this past Saturday, we're talking about how they love you reading your stories over the air. It's one of my ping pong buddies. I was working away in here on Saturday and I was watching them out there and I finally walked out just to say hi.
Yeah.
And they said, oh, we love Tuesdays when you read from that book. He couldn't remember. Something about Africa. I said, oh, yeah, that's Marianne. She's
that's
the author. And they said, on Mondays, I love her reading, you know, the memorization Mondays. He said, last week, that was a long verse. That's a hard one for me. But he's working away. He's an over-the-road truck driver.
Don't worry, because next week's verse is Jesus wept.
That's a good one. That's an easy one for most to memorize. But yesterday, Marianne, we were talking about recalibrating Tuesday again, now that we're through reading your book over the last year or so.
Right.
But turning it back into Testimony Tuesdays.
Yeah, I enjoyed
and
those.
You saw me yesterday. I was like, okay, Lord, have somebody walk in the doorway that we can interview tomorrow. And I was using all the powers at hand, and nobody came
in. I called Rob right away.
Yeah. So, Rob, you'll be our first reinitiating Tuesdays into Testimony Tuesday. Share a little of your faith journey and how you came to know the Lord Jesus Christ, because we have a variety of listeners, some that are senior saints that have followed Jesus, have attended church, know their Bibles, if you will, have read it for many years. To those that are tuned in, they're scanning the dial, there might be skeptics, they might be agnostic, they might entertain the idea, there might be some kind of God or something that exists, but can you know him personally? To people that are almost hostile to Christianity or to any kind of faith system because of hurt or pain or suffering or unanswered questions. And so you'll be our first to kind of bring it to a point where people can understand the simplicity that there's a loving God that sent his son. And because of a sin issue that we had, there was that gap between knowing him, but he provided a way. So maybe you can help us understand how your faith journey began and how God, if you will, wooed you to him and how Jesus became pivotal in your life. And so we'll have you share a little of that, and we'll see what comes up out of that. But welcome to the Tuesday edition of Mark and Friends, our new series called Testimony Tuesdays. So we have Memorization Mondays. We have Testimony Tuesdays.
It's alliteration.
We have the Prime Life Times in Review on Wednesdays.
It's not, but it still works.
Yeah. Joey Kroll on Thursdays and Pastor Jason Schiffo on Fridays. And it's kind of an open Friday, whatever topic or concern or thing that comes to mind. You know, usually you get Jason in and you mention something and he has a Bible answer for it or a specific verse to look up and refer to. So
it's a good summer lineup.
Yeah. So, Rob, you've been our copy editor for these past, I guess, 19 months. You've been a friend of the radio ministry for many years. You and Mary, you've been interviewed a time or two with some of the articles you've written for the Prime Life Times. So you're not only the copy editor, but a content contributor, an author. You do the wordsmith and the animal one. Many articles, you and Mary, and you kind of put staff underneath it, but they're attributed to your writings. You've been a pastor or lay pastor, mm-hmm. a veteran. Certainly you have a real heart for those that have served in the armed forces, and you've done your own walk around the country raising funds and awareness to help veterans. Let's see, what else do I know you've done? You tell me.
Well, let's go back to the beginning. That might be easier. My family were on the farm, my mom and dad. I had an older sister, 2 years older, but the nearest doctor was in Clinton, Iowa. So across the bridge they went, and my mom gave birth to me there. But my birth was imminent, so Dad said it was a dime to pay the toll to go across. So Dad just said, my wife's having a baby, I'll pay you on the way back, and sped through and got by with it.
That's crazy.
So I was in debt 10 cents before I was even born.
And, oh, your dad was.
Well, you know, these things come on down through the
there
generations.
But there you go.
Dad was the captain of one of the Sunday school teams. The pastor was trying to get people to invite people to Sunday school. This was 1945. The war was over in Europe, but not in the Pacific. And so rationing was still on. I have my mom's ration books from that time. And it's pretty interesting how that all worked. But not only was I in debt, but Dad went back, milked the cows, went to church. And he said,
this is the day you were born.
We're going way back.
The day
I was born.
The 10 cents.
Yeah, I can barely remember this. Anyway.
Although I want you to continue your story straight, but I do have to say you have an incredible memory for when you were like 4 years old, 5 years old, more than most people. But
yeah,
let's not
I
get
do
off.
Not really remember when I was born.
Okay, we got that down.
So Dad stood up and said, I want to announce a new member on my team, Robert Seidenberg. And he was born at such and such a time this morning. And the pastor said, okay, good. And in the columns over there, he checked me absent.
Oh, gosh. As a newborn, I love it.
Yeah, so I was kind of absent too.
From my church.
First day. Yeah. So that began my slide into sin, you might say. So I did grow up in a Christian home with incredible parents. Not only were they brilliant, but they were just godly people. And our home was steeped in the Bible, in the Word of God. A day did not pass without reading at least a chapter from the Bible and some discussion and prayer. We did not eat without praying. If you've ever heard the expression, bless the hands that have prepared it, we also didn't pray without saying that, you know.
Wow.
And so my parents had an incredible influence on people from all over the world, because even though I grew up on this little hill farm in northwest Illinois, we had guests from dozens of foreign countries through 4-H, through missions, through colleges, who knows. But if there was a program where you could sponsor a foreign college student at the local college or anything like that, my parents signed right up.
And what were their primary careers work that they did?
Yeah, Dad was primarily a farmer, but often he would work off the farm too to supplement. But, you know, you could go a year or two, as any farmer will tell you today, you could go several years and not really have any income. You know, it's a sad thing, but we're feeding the world, and I guess we're eating okay too. But the fact is that farming is a bit of a gamble. You know, it's a tough thing because it's your own business. And my mom was a school teacher. Mm. Mm. And when they got married, she taught in a one-room country school. And I've been to that school. Very interesting.
I guess I ask because some people wouldn't think people from all over the world would come to this farmstead and visit with your father, because you wouldn't picture most farmers hobnobbing with all these internationals or people in high-profile positions.
You had to know my parents. And if there was a missionary that they knew, one of my dad's good friends was a man named Saufly, S-A-U-F-L-Y, and he was a longtime missionary in Haiti. This guy would later become a college president. It's ironic because he had been my mom's boyfriend, but he was in Michigan and she was in Illinois, and they drove, you know, he had to drive like 600 miles each way to visit her.
That all worked out.
Well, the good thing is it didn't, but the good thing is...
That's what I mean.
That, yeah.
Okay, back to, so you're born, fast forward.
They became great great friends of my parents. And
that's great.
And one time he said, man, my dad's name was Loyal, and he said, man, if I just had a chainsaw. And so Dad went over, talked to my mom, and wrote him a check to get a chainsaw before I went back. Aww. But that's how my parents were. I mean, they would just, they'd say, well, how much do you need for the next year? And then they'd go into conference with each other or with the whole church, and then they'd write a check.
So my father like son. You know, Rob, I was thinking I could use a chainsaw right now.
On my beard, right? Yeah. Oh, really? Yeah.
I am not going to embarrass Rob and Mary, but I have heard stories, and I have heard you guys are very giving and generous people.
Good grief. I you know, people aren't supposed to tell that. Now we've lost our entire reward. So. So.
No. You didn't tell it.
Oh, okay.
I'm telling it.
Okay.
Okay, so you grew up in a Christian home. Parents modeled, what God was like. How did you learn about Jesus having that personal relationship?
You know, my parents always talked about the Lord, and my dad was not beyond stopping and praying. And I'll tell one more story. I was a little bitty kid, and Dad was up on the haystack, and he had the first cutting of hay, which you know is a high-protein one, lots of leaves and all that, good alfalfa hay, and he had it in a giant stack, which he was going to cover. And he had a bunch of tarps and so on. It was all ready to go. But he was still putting the hay up there. And here came the rain marching across the fields. And he could look out and see it. And he said, Lord, he said, I'm not sure why I said this. He said, Lord, you know, I paid my tithe faithfully ever since I've been 10 years old. And I really need this hay. And if it's rained on, it's not just ruined, but, you know, it'll heat up and ruin everything else. And so, Lord, I'd appreciate it if you could stop that rain before it gets here. And it came to the fence of the neighbor's, you know, maybe 500 feet away of the neighbor's cornfield and his hayfield. And it stopped right at the fence.
Oh,
and
word.
A neighbor came across. And I believe that really increased Dad's faith. You know, he was a man of faith. And he was a very generous and giving sort of guy. I mean, he's just so generous. And so when I was six, there was a terrible blizzard, and they decided there was something wrong with the furnace in the church. Now, don't worry, there's no running water, nothing to freeze, just the hymn books and Bibles and stuff like that and the people. So they said, well, we can't have church. And so they tried to call everybody on the phone tree. And so we went off to a local church in town. And the pastor said, you know, I just feel moved today to give an invitation. I was six. And I said, Dad, do you think it'd be okay to go up there and pray to receive the Lord? He said, I think it's excellent. You want me to go with you? I said,
now,
please.
For somebody unfamiliar with what an invitation is, that's where they take you through the gospel story that God desires
basically,
to have a relationship with you. And
yeah, basically, this guy presented the concept that God made you in his image. In the Garden of Eden, humans fell by disobeying and were born with that old Adamic or sin nature and were sinners. We're sinners for two reasons. One, we're sinners because we're born that way. You know, I'm a Seidenberg because I was born in Seidenberg, right? But two, we're sinners because we choose to sin. We go our own way, and we can see a lot of scriptures about that in Romans and other places. All we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way, and I'm by nature a very rebellious person. I'm sitting here with my two bosses. And I'll confess that I have a problem with authority. You know?
Well, this is taking a turn.
And I spent 22 years in the Army. Okay, so I grew up on the farm.
They couldn't career you.
And I went to Sunday school and church. If the door was open, we were there. Midweek prayer service. The pastor said, any questions at the end of his sermon? And this boy raised his hand. He was really pleased. He said, yeah, Tommy, what's up? And he said, well, on this stained glass window over here, it says the window is dedicated to the men who died in the service. He said, yeah, we are very grateful for our veterans. What's your question? He said, was it the morning service or the evening service?
I knew it was coming.
So it did seem sometimes, you know, they'd say we will now have a season of prayer. We turned around and knelt down at the pew, the old wooden pews. And I remember an old guy who had a deep bass voice, made mine sound like a tenor, you know. And this guy could pray. And he did pray, and he prayed a long time, you know. So a season of prayer was a season of prayer. It wasn't all the whole season of spring and fall.
But so did your father go down the aisle with you?
Yeah, he went down and knelt there with me, and he heard my prayer too. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I'll fast forward a little bit. You know, I went off to college. I went to another college.
So that prayer basically was a recognition that you needed Jesus, that you were a sinner, that God sent Jesus to, you know, there's that word propitiation, but be that substitute, be that answer to your condition.
That's right. Well, fast forward to I'm 30 years old. I'm on the mission field with Slavic Gospel Association in France, and I'm looking at my life. You know, I had done some years active Army duty I'd been in military intelligence. I knew some other languages. But my life was not lining up. I'd been reading some scripture that was just really convicting me. And so I went and talked to the head missionary there, a guy named Bill Kapitanyuk, a Ukrainian-Canadian-French guy, if you can believe that.
Yeah. And with Marianne's eyes are popping open.
With nine sons, okay.
Nice.
And I remember when his son Timothy was born, his British missionary friend was joking with me. He said, "Oh, now wait, is that 1 Timothy or 2 Timothy?" Anyway, so I said, "Bill, I'm wrestling with something here spiritually." He said, "Okay, the next 3 days you're working in the church and over there in that courtyard." He said, "You're by yourself. You're not answering anybody. You're just over there doing what you know needs done." And just had that time, work time with the Lord. And that's in my life, that's been important to have. I'm alone doing work and I'm with the Lord. You know, mm-hmm. That's been a big deal to me. And so the first day I'm praying. But it just seemed like the devil was messing with me. Now, if you don't believe in a devil, well, you know, you can get a new theology anytime. You can get saved anytime. You know, you don't have to wait until you're a missionary, okay? But I do not believe I was converted at 6 years old. I don't think I was when I go back and look at my life. And, you know, you probably heard people say, "God said it, I believe it, and that settles it." Well, I'm here to tell you, God said it, and that settles it, and you better believe it. The fact is, God had the first word. In the beginning was the Word, and we know that's Jesus Christ, and he was complicit in all creation. Jesus Christ was involved. You know, read the first three chapters of John, and if you missed that, call me and we'll talk about it. The fact is, we are insufficient. We cannot make up for the wrong we've done. We can't do that. And yet here's this incredible deal where Jesus died for me and offers a free pardon. And I didn't understand grace. And I'll quote one of my cousins. I was at church camp, and I thought, wow, this was a really good sermon. And afterwards, my cousin took me aside and said, "You know, I've been looking at our religion. It's so strict. You try your best to do all this. In the end, you probably die and go to hell anyway. I'm done with this stuff." Hmm. Where was grace? And what is grace anyway? Well, we know what faith is from the book of Hebrews, from Hebrews 11:1. And we know that grace, and my dad always would say, and this is not bad, this is pretty good theology, mercy is something you don't get that you deserve, and grace is something you get that's good that you don't deserve.
That was in the book yesterday.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah, see, yeah. I should listen to this radio station.
That's amazing.
And the fact is, God is gracious. Not a one of us would be here. He could burn us out tomorrow. Come on. Mm-hmm. I remember a missionary friend of mine was home on furlough. He was driving down to see me from Buffalo, New York, and he said he felt the Lord saying, "Well, what do you think, Frank?" And he said, "Boy," he said, "these people are a mess, Lord. If it was up to me, I'd get rid of the people, plow it up, and plant potatoes." You know?
So what happened to you in your courtyard? Okay. I want
to
hear the end of that story.
We have about 2.5 minutes to summarize it all.
I will be so bold as to say I had an encounter with the enemy of our soul, and I had an encounter with God. Hmm. And I went and I poured my heart out to God, and as I did, what happened was that the sins of my life, and I've sinned. You can ask my wife. She'll tell you. I've sinned. The sins of my life.
Hey, I could tell you.
Oh, okay. You knew, right?
We all know. Everybody has.
Okay, so it's okay. The sins just kept going through my head, like people say your life does when you're drowning.
Oh, wow.
And so I finally said to the devil, "Go jump in the lake of fire. I'm done with this. I'm going to trust God." That night we had a service, and this was called Summer Youth Training in Europe. I was the oldest youth there. I was 30. We had people in their late 20s, mid-20s. And so a dozen of these guys stood around me in a circle. We went in the back room. And of all things, God had, through my mistake, I won't tell that story today. I'll tell it another day. God can bless your mistakes. Through my mistake, an English-speaking preacher came to speak that night. Mm-hmm. And he preached on the blind man who said, he kept saying, "Jesus, Jesus." And they said, "Hey, hush, hush, she's busy, you know, don't." And Jesus said, no, bring him up here. What do you want? What do you want me to do for you?" And he said, "I just want to receive my sight." And that was my prayer that night. "Lord, give me my spiritual sight, please. Mm-hmm. You know, what must I do to really be saved here?" And so I had to write a prayer letter to all my missionary supporters saying, "Well, guess what? Your missionary got saved. You're not supposed to do it that way."
Yeah, I think so. D.L. Moody had a similar story.
Yeah,
that
he
people
did.
Were praying. He was preaching the gospel, you know, serving God, if you will, and yet some elderly ladies in the front row were noticing. I don't think he has the fullness or the understanding of God's grace and such. And they were used of God to minister to him, where his wife and others said from that point on, he really preached a different message, more of God's love than just God's
justice.
It was
personal. Yeah. If you're a beggar and you found some bread and you're going to share it with other beggars, you know what you're talking about.
Yeah,
hey, right over there, there's some bread. Go over. If you don't know what you're talking about, Mark Vahey, he was a missionary to Lithuania, became a good friend of mine. Same thing. He got saved as a missionary. John Wesley. I mean, we're not the only ones.
Yeah.
They called Mart at his seminary. They called him Extreme Grace Mart.
So you came to a connection with God, that he was a God full of grace and mercy. He became real and personal, and that would have been maybe your point of
conversion. That's it right there.
Well, a lot more to the story. In fact, tomorrow we're going to have the Prime Life Times in Review on Wednesday, and I think we're going to invite you back to read a story or two that you penned for this June edition. So we'll keep praying you up, and you know, pray for anyone that's tuned in that maybe hasn't entertained the idea that God loves them, or that you can have a personal relationship and have an everlasting life without pain and suffering in the very presence of God, who created you, who loves you, who cares for you. Yeah, it's one of those things that is mysterious as we seek after God, as we try to learn from him, as we follow him, as we rub shoulders with other Christians, other believers, and read his word daily and try to understand truth and grapple with being in a sin-hurting world. But we do serve a loving, great, gracious God who does care about us. So, well, thank you for sharing on this Testimony Tuesday. And we'll see other special guests in the days ahead. So thanks for tuning in. Thanks for being a part of our radio listening family. This is Mark Burns, Marianne Simpkins, and Rob Seidenberg with the Ministry of Great News Radio. God bless you. Have a great day and night.
Come ye sinners, poor and needy, weak and wounded, sick and sore, Jesus ready stands to save you, full of pity, love, and power. I will arise and
Savior,
there are 10,000
charms.